Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
It was incredible.
So there's that.
It's one of my favorite fan experiences of all time.
So Cam Spencer... it made sense to get that contract converted and give him the fully guaranteed 2 years, $4.5 million. Gigi still want to see more defensive effort,
but he's showing signs of improvement. Signs are there,
but he can still fill up the basket, which I don't think we had questions about. But he's still showing you, oh my gosh, if he finds his way on the defensive end, finds his way with his just overall basketball IQ. This guy's still limp for the game.
Yeah.
He's still the youngest guy, I believe, on
the
G League roster.
The youngest guy on the G League roster going into year three.
And then, okay, forgive me for being, I guess, unplugged from this. I'm honestly glad I'm unplugged from this. I heard you guys talking about it yesterday, though. Are there seriously people having, like,
yes,
strong conclusions and takes from Jalen Wells in Summer League?
It's nuts. It's
What have we seen that makes you jump to conclusions or have any generalization?
It's because
nothing.
He looks the same.
Here are the two things.
Except he gets to put up 17 shots when he's out there.
And he got his hair done.
He got his hair
sure,
done.
Sure, yeah.
Somebody.
Looks good.
I saw
someone say he looks overweight, and what are we talking about?
He put on more muscle. He looks bigger.
He doesn't look that. It's been a month. He doesn't look that much different.
Everybody relax.
It's insane.
It's not like we have a full NBA season of him being successful in the league. Oh, wait, we do!
It's mind-blowing. It's mind-numbing, quite frankly. It's like, how do you jump to conclusions on two Summer League games with a guy you just saw have an unbelievable all-rookie first-team season?
Especially when he was good in those two Summer League games.
Yes,
he had a moment where he missed six shots in a row.
Which happens to everybody.
It happens. It's not that. It's not the end of the world. Listen, this may be a symptom of me being way too plugged in. I understand that. But there was enough chatter about it to where I was like, you know, I need to talk about
this
it.
Is
because
why...
Jalen Wells is going to be really, really good. All right? He's already shown that he has the right mindset to be an NBA player. He's defensively has
right.
a lot there. And then his three-point shot is solid. That's all you need him to do.
This is where, though, we need to just take it upon ourselves at times to, like, put the, whether it be the Grizzlies, NBA Twitter commenters, you need to put them in the same boat as the people that spout conspiracy theories on Twitter, where you ignore them completely. Like, that's what we need to start.
Well,
like,
I will
just
say.
It's insane to me.
I will say,
there
this,
are
this
some people
latest
with voices,
Jalen
too.
Wells conversation, I do think allowed me to find the last few I hadn't muted. So, you know what I mean? It's at the positive, you know, because I try to be positive as much as I can. The positive I can take away from this nonsense is I found the rest of the dummies that I hadn't muted yet, and they have been banished to mute.
Yes. There's about three or four probably added.
Protect your peace.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say I think it was five. I think it was full there was five, one yeah. string of replies where I was like, all of you gone. All of you gone. I'm gonna send all of you on a Southwest flight and just hope that you disappear.
Yeah, they may have to do a layover in Denver and stay in the Denver airport.
Go so, underneath to the catacombs of the Denver airport.
The Denver airport, though, cursed? I'm glad we didn't fly through there and have to stay there that night because there's some things going on. They've played into
cursed.
It, though. With some of the advertisements around the...
Well, the horse is terrifying.
His name is Blucifer.
Have you been seeing...
Right.
Have you seen like the advertisements?
Cursed.
They're leaning into it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, they're leaning into it. You know, is it just an airport or is it cursed? There's like ads up all over the Denver airport. It's like when
I don't
stop
like
playing into it. I don't like that.
I don't like that.
Do you remember? I think it was in middle school or maybe like freshman year of high school when that YouTube video came out about the Denver airport. And my buddies and I were like, we have found the truth. The Illuminati built the Denver. It spread through the school like wildfire. Carville High School, the topic of conversation was the Denver airport. For a little
do we
bit,
even
my
have like a
year.
Full story on it? Like, does it?
I
do you even know the whole like the real conspiracy
remember.
Theory
I'd have
about
to go
it?
Find the video. There's
like built
like,
on like a
painting
burial ground or something. Like,
know.
what's the
I
deal?
Think it, I don't know. I don't really know.
Everybody
I don't
just
remember.
Universally accepts like that airport's cursed.
Yeah. Well, then my frontal lobe developed, and I was like, oh, okay, maybe it's not all a conspiracy.
Yeah, those deciphering
that
skills.
Horse, no, this was part of
that
it.
That horse is weird, though.
With the horse, remember the original sculptor ended up dying building the horse.
Of course he did.
Oh.
And then his son finished it, I think, also.
Died. Is the soul
the son?
Sculptor?
The son died, too?
I think so.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong.
Maybe. Maybe.
That's brutal.
That is brutal.
Oh, no, it was just the original
okay.
sculptor.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's bad
it,
enough. Okay, let me not. We acted too relieved
the,
there.
It was relieved the, that the it sun was the die. Actual like statue that like did it. A chunk of the sculpture fell on him and he died from his injuries. I'm
that's
telling
a little
you,
weird.
It's cursed.
That's a little weird.
Something's
we all
going
know
on
it's
out
cursed.
There.
Yeah, the paintings are weird in the building too. Apparently,
why does the horse's eyes?
Whatever
glow?
Power up above though did save me from going to the Denver airport and having to stay overnight last night. Give me that. Well,
amen.
It was the Southwest realizing their complete F up. I
yes.
think that's what it was.
Yeah. But we've held you far too long. We got to get to David Cobb. Gabe, thank you for hanging out with us in the studio. We'll see you tomorrow.
Can't wait to be back in tomorrow. See you guys then.
Yes, sir. That was Gabe Kuhn, the host of The Gabe Kuhn Show. You can find him on Twitter at @G_Kuhn71. When I come back, I'll be joined by David Cobb from CBS Sports. Stick around and listen to Connor Dunning on The Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM ESPN. This song is how I feel when I watch Mayshak play basketball. Welcome back into the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning filling in for Gabe Kuhn for one more day. He'll be back tomorrow. Just join us in studio. But right now I'm joined by one of my favorites, one of your favorites, one of our utility players here on 92.9 FM ESPN, which, by the way, you can find on the Odyssey app and now the iHeart app free. Everywhere you can find us, your number one sports station in Memphis and the Mid-South. But now we're talking to David Cobb from CBS Sports. You can find him on Twitter at David W. Cobb. David, I'm beginning to fall in love, and I don't care who knows it. Mayshak has captured my heart.
Yeah, I can tell, Connor. I was listening to the first hour, and wow. Oh, man. You are definitely in the honeymoon phase with Jemai Mayshak.
We're also in the it's summer league and we need something to talk about phase.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm gonna flip the advice that you were just giving to people about Jalen Wells and overreacting to two summer league performances. I'm gonna flip that advice back onto you in the other direction and say, all right, Connor, we've seen Jemai Mayshak play two summer league games, but maybe pump the brakes just a tad. Also, I heard the whole conversation there about the comps. And the comp on Mayshak I think is really difficult because you know, you brought up De'Anthony Melton. George brought up DeLon Wright. The dreamers out there want to throw out Tony Allen. But I don't know that there is, like, a perfect comp. I mean, comps are hard in the first place, but I think they're really hard for Jemai Mayshak because he just doesn't really fit into very many boxes. Like, he's a defensive specialist, But he can also handle the ball a little bit too. So no, I don't know. He's an interesting player, and man, I mean, shoot, he had what, 3 of 4 from the three-point line last night, and then 9 assists in that first game to go. He almost had a double-double in the debut.
Yeah,
when you include the fouls and the assists, how about that?
Yeah, he did. Now, to be fair, I did say that he's a two-way basketball player. And I think that his ceiling might be somebody like De'Anthony Melton. I feel like I am being realistic, but he is exciting. A defensive guy is people who capture my heart. Glue guys are the type of players that I always trend toward, and I like the effort that he's shown, and I just think he could be a bit of a surprise at the end of the draft. But again, this season, and to be honest, for the next few, I expect him to be a two-way player trying to compete for an NBA spot. He may never be a real rotational guy. I just think the first few games in Summer League has shown, oh, there might be something there. There might be something there. And last night, it was just a big topic of conversation on Grizzlies Twitter and on social media about what type of player Meshack was. And just some of the comps I saw thrown out were really unrealistic. So I was trying to find one that might match the ceiling he could potentially hit, but probably won't get there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't totally disagree with De'Anthony Melton. The interesting thing about Jemai Meshack is I think he brings more defensive versatility than De'Anthony Melton.
Sure.
Because he can switch on to some bigger players. Like, you'll see him take the role guy and hold his own. Whereas De'Anthony was a little bit smaller. Then on the flip side, I think De'Anthony Melton had a little bit more refinement offensively, perhaps, than Jemai Meshack. But I mean, not a terrible comp. Let me pose, this might seem like a crazy question, Connor, but bear with me on it. Do you think that if prime Tony Allen were coming out of college today, like the version of Tony Allen that we had in Memphis during the grit and grind era, does that version of Tony Allen, would that player like have a home in today's NBA? And what would it look like for a guy like the Tony Allen that we knew 12, 15 years ago? Like, what would playing in the modern NBA look like for a guy like that?
Are we talking about the Tony Allen that was in Memphis or the Tony Allen that was coming out of college?
Well, okay, yeah, maybe I phrased it poorly. Let's think about the Tony Allen that was in Memphis. Yeah.
Okay. So, because when Tony was in, I think that people forget, before he got hurt, Tony was a good offensive basketball player. Like, he won Conference Player of the Year, didn't he, for Oklahoma State?
Yeah, he got buckets. He got buckets in college at OK State.
So
yep.
It's really interesting because Jeff Teague, on his podcast recently, they were talking about Kobe Bryant and his defense and some of the myths that may exist around Kobe and his defense. I'm not going to get into that. But they brought up Tony Allen specifically, and Jeff Teague said a player like Tony Allen, who is a defensive specialist, will always have a role in the NBA because every single team needs somebody like him. And then he cited, a Lu Dort is similar. But I think that we can agree that Lu Dort does have a little bit more of a three-point shot. As much as we love Tony Allen, his number should be in the rafters. I was there. I was emotional and crying when I saw that number got retired. Tony's offense wasn't great. And he was one of those players when he would go up for a three, we'd be like, oh, my God. And then if it would go in, you would be excited. I think that Tony would have he'd be one of those players where he'd come into a team, he would probably have some big summer league performances defensively, earn himself a two-way spot, then eventually get a fully guaranteed contract, and I think work his way into the rotation. Does he ever become an everyday starter in today's NBA? I don't know. If his offense is the exact same it was in Memphis, but I think at minimum, he'd be one of the first guys off the bench for you. And I could see, a team that has a defensive mindset, he could sneak into that starting lineup because he truly was one of the greatest defenders we've ever seen in the NBA.
Well, I think you're describing exactly what I see the ceiling being for Jemai Meshack.
Oh.
I think you just described that with talking about how Tony Allen might translate in 2025 to the NBA. I think you described what the best version of Jemai Meshack is. So I don't want to be that guy who's like comparing Jemai Meshack.
I was about to say, Kyle, you started this phone call with telling me to pump the brakes, and within 10 minutes we got to, he might be Tony Allen.
I think he's Tony Allen reincarnated but dropped into the wrong era. I mean,
okay.
Because you think about it, because for all the reasons you describe, I mean, if Tony Allen came walking through the door at FedEx Forum today and he had somehow found the fountain of youth and was 29 years old again, Zach Kleiman would look at him and be like, all right, well, you know, this dude can't shoot and he can't space the floor and he's going to pick up, you know, six fouls in 15 minutes. But sure, I mean, we'll find a spot on the roster for him because he's that good of a perimeter defender. That's how we're talking about Jemai Masak. You know what I mean? But the game has changed so much that the premium or the value that we place on a guy like that isn't what it used to be. Now, obviously, in the context of the Grizzlies summer league and what they're searching for and the hope that you're trying to find with some of the roster additions, like, yeah, we're excited about him, but none of us are thinking that he's going to be an 82 game starter on the next great iteration of the Memphis Grizzlies. But I think in a sense, like, the best version of what Jemai Masak could be is like kind of like what a Tony Allen would be in 2025.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I think that part of the excitement too is, we can be honest about it, a lot of second round picks that get made, you see them on draft night and you kind of just never see them again. And it seems like the Grizzlies may have found talent in two of these guys. And Masak, we've just been able to see him a little bit more than Small. And you're just like, it's kind of fun to root for these players now to see if they could become anything. It's not just some wasted draft pick. It's a player that has actual potential. And he's in a field that, we can be honest about it, here in Memphis, people love defensive-minded players. If you play defense, people in the city of Memphis will fall in love with you. And like, I just pulled up Tony Allen's stats because I was just curious. And in his best season in the NBA shooting from three, he did shoot 38% from three one season. Now, it was on 0.4 a game, so it's not like he was firing them up. But, you know, later in his career, he shot at about 35% on one a game. And, like, can Masak stay in the low 30s, mid-30s with a three-point shot and be a defensive-minded guy? He might be able to stick around the league. That could be a thing. I did want to ask you, because a big talking point today has been, last night in the summer league game, Masak made three threes, and Bennett Doyle over on Grind City Media, one of our buddies, he pointed out it's more threes than he hit in a single game at Tennessee last night. Three was the cap. So I wanted to ask you, is his offensive numbers and the lack of offensive production that we saw at Tennessee, was it ability or was it opportunity with Masak? Was he just being asked to do only defense at Tennessee?
Well, yeah, so I think to a certain extent, Rick Barnes gets into something he likes, he sticks with it, and he does not deviate from that. He's not in it for, well, we need to get this guy the right tape so he can impress at the next level. No, especially in this day and age where you're getting paid a lot of money to play basketball in the SEC, it's not so much about developing your guys for the next level. I mean, obviously, Tennessee has a pretty good track record under Rick Barnes of sending guys to the NBA, and Jemai Masak is actually an example of that. But, you know, it wasn't like, well, you know, we got to get Jemai Masak six threes a night this season so that, you know, maybe he can improve his draft stock. It's like, nah, dude, you're getting paid a lot of money. We got other guys who can shoot it better. This is your role. And they didn't really deviate from that. And I think to a certain extent, your reputation gets cemented early on in your career in college, and you don't really have the opportunity to grow and expand beyond that because you kind of get pigeonholed into a certain role. And, you know, I say all that, but they still valued and respected and loved what Jemai Masak brought at Tennessee. I mean, there were times last year where you had Tennessee fans clamoring to take Jemai Masak out of the starting lineup because Jordan Gainey was starting to play really well, was more of an offensive threat. Well, you know, the coaching staff was having none of that because they realized and appreciated what Jemai Masak brought to the table defensively, but they never really encouraged or let him grow beyond that. So, I think he's got the ability to shoot it. He showed that last night, but when you don't get the opportunities to do that regularly in game action, you don't gain any real confidence, and nor do your teammates gain confidence in you. So I think the fact that he's playing summer league and getting to shoot a lot and will spend time with the Hustle, assuming, you know, it all works out the way we think it will, you know, he's going to get to go down to South Haven and he will shoot it four or five times a game from beyond the arc down there. He's going to be playing 30 minutes a night and they will be trying to develop him specifically for that purpose. So I think he has the ability. And honestly, I'll say this too, like if Jemai Masak were a guy that had been playing at South Carolina or had he been playing at Tulane or a somewhat lesser program, he would have had a greater offensive opportunity, you know? And so it's sort of like you look at Javon Small and Jemai Masak, the two second-round picks of the Grizzlies, and they have vastly different college stats. But those are largely the byproducts of the systems and the caliber of the programs that they were in. So, no, I mean, I think Jemai Masak can do it. And so, no, and I think what he showed last night is a is a sign of that. So I'm a cautious believer that you know, he can sort of do what you read me off of Tony Allen's basketball reference page right now, which is shoot 35-36% on around one attempt per game at the NBA level. I mean, yeah, I absolutely believe he can do that.
Yeah, and again, I fully expect, I don't want everybody to be like, oh, they're calling him Tony Allen. No, I think that next season he's going to be a really exciting two-way player because he's going to get run down in South Haven, and he can have an impact on that hustle team. And if he has success there, he might get some opportunity with the Grizzlies, depending on how next season goes. And maybe he can turn into a defensive specialist for the team that might be able to knock down a three. That would be fantastic. It's just when you see a second-round talent, you know, when opportunity meets talent, meets preparation, that's always an exciting thing, even if it is a second-round guy, even if it is the NBA Summer League. I don't think there's anything wrong with fans being excited that, oh, this guy who – and I think that this matters. I talk about this a lot. When you see a player leave a program or a college or another team and come to your team, and the comment section on all social media posts about him are filled with, you're absolutely going to love this guy. He's a dog. He's one of the hardest workers you could have. He's going to be great in the locker room. All of those things matter. And that's what you saw from Tennessee fans about Mayshak.
Yeah, for sure. I honestly, Connor, it would be great if somebody from that Tennessee to Grizzlies pipeline finally hit, because Kennedy Chandler was a bit of a whiff.
Yeah.
Jarnell Stokes, I don't know if he got...
God, they took him over Jokic.
I mean, there's a lot of teams who can go back and say that, but yeah, wow. When you put it like that, that's especially tough to swallow. So you know, I'd love for the Knoxville to Memphis pipeline to sort of be reinvigorated there, because there hasn't really been a whole lot of success to speak of. You know, and then of course I'm still salty because they passed on DK. By the way, Connor, did you see the fourth quarter that Dalton Connect had last night in the California Classic?
No, I didn't. I didn't. How was it? Was it good?
Oh, he went off, man. He brought the Lakers back from like a 10-point deficit in the final 2 minutes. To be honest with you, they won the game. They won the game by 1 point. He was probably, I think he had like 15 points in the fourth quarter, something like that. So I'm just gonna let you know. Just letting you know.
I want to be clear. Yeah, he finished with 25 points. It was a good game. It was a good game. I like Dalton Connect. I've never been against him. It's just I don't like that he's paired with Zach Edey. I think it's unfair to both players. You know, both of them can have success in the NBA. Dalton Connect had a lot of success last season for the Lakers. The trade stuff, I think, was weird and probably got in his head, and he struggled later in the season, but he showed flashes of maybe being able to be something, in the same way that Zach Edey showed flashes that he may be able to be something. But I want to stay with the Tennessee-Memphis connection, because last night, Penny Hardaway, you know, talked about scheduling and non-con for Memphis at his coach's show, and he was asked a question about scheduling and specifically Tennessee, and he said, it's tough because we want to play other teams, but the teams, they want to play us, we want to play them. And then a fan in the crowd shouted UT, and he said, yeah, exactly. Cobb, what is it going to take for us to get Tennessee and Memphis again? Because it feels like the entire state wants it. Everybody wants it. But we can be honest about it. It feels like Rick Barnes doesn't want it.
Yeah, Connor, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take Rick Barnes retiring. And that is going to happen. I mean, yeah. He is over 70 years old now, in an era when very few coaches go too far beyond that. So, I mean, the end is on the horizon for Rick. I mean, some people thought he might retire after this past season because he and Zakai Ziegler were so close, and Jermaine Mayshak, for that matter, that class was like really special to him, and they've moved on now. And so some people thought Rick might retire, but no, I mean, I think there's still some saltiness there, or just sort of a, maybe not active saltiness, but sort of just like, we're not going back to that, because of how everything went down when Tennessee and Memphis were supposed to play in Nashville, and, you know, and there was all the COVID deal and whatnot. And then of course Penny had, you know, his more brash comments early on in his coaching tenure. And
right.
I wish they would play, man. I would love it. I've been there for a couple of those games. It is fantastic when Tennessee and Memphis play in basketball. And I said this before, but it's worth repeating. And Tennessee fans get up for that game. They might kind of want to pretend like they don't, or that it doesn't matter to them. Tennessee fans get really fired up to play Memphis. And so I think from that standpoint, both fan bases would love the game and would get really into the game. But, you know, I mean, I just don't think Rick's going to do it until you know, obviously he retires, and then I think Tennessee will revisit that. I think it would be great. I think Danny White would do it in a heartbeat because you know he recognizes the sort of things that his fans gravitate towards, and they would certainly gravitate towards a game with Memphis.
It's one of those games where when they were playing it, I would be so excited for it. It would almost make me feel ill because I went to Tennessee for 2 years. I have a lot of Tennessee fans that are friends. I root for Tennessee football. I'm not a basketball fan for Tennessee. Memphis basketball has my heart, which makes sense because I grew up here. But when that game happens, it does feel like there's so much at stake. Bragging rights, you know, I think that it can impact recruiting. So I do hope that one day they can bring it back. I want to ask you one more question about Tennessee. It's Gabe asked me an interesting question when it got announced that, you know, NCAA is going to bring back the basketball game. EA is going to bring back college basketball. And then 2K, they're hinting that they may try to have a basketball game. And the idea of it is that there might be some classic teams on these games. And Gabe asked me an interesting question. Which Tennessee team and which Memphis team should be on those classic games? And my answer was, I think both of the 2008 teams would be the answer. Like, both of those teams should be the teams for Tennessee and Memphis, but I was curious to see what you said.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. The days of Chris Lofton, Juwan Smith,
yeah.
Wayne Chisholm.
With that headband barely staying on.
Shout out Bolivar, Tennessee, man. Hardeman County. He and Willie Kemp both played at, I believe it's Bolivar Central. Those were just some really, really fun teams. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Dane Bradshaw was not on that team, but J.P. Prince was on that team, right? They came into the Forum 1-2. Yep, he went to White Station. That would be the team for me. Also, there's nostalgia there from a video game standpoint, Connor, because the last really good college basketball video game was that 2K8.
Yes.
And that was the Tennessee team that was on there because you had that whole squad. They were super fun to play with because Lofton and Juwan Smith could really shoot it. And Ramar Smith had like 95 speed or something and could get to the cup. But man, I got super fired up when they said that video game is coming back. And if they do the throwback teams too, and they can put the names of the throwback players in the game, that would be an absolute blast.
That would be incredible. I can't lie. Last night, I watched a 2-hour YouTube video of somebody rebuilding Western Kentucky on NCAA 26, and it was enthralling. It was absolutely electric.
Oh.
They took Western Kentucky to the national championship and won the game somehow. It was unbelievable. I was so locked in to this video. But David Cobb,
Was he playing on Heisman? That's my question.
I don't know. We didn't see the settings. I didn't see the settings. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Who knows? But David Cobb, thank you so much for hanging out with me, my friend.
All right, man. No problem.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you on Friday. That was David Cobb from CBS Sports. You can find him on Twitter at David W. Cobb. When we come back, we got to do the Blitz. We're going to talk about the NBA Cup. We're going to talk about Chet Holmgren. We're going to talk about a new wrinkle that's going to be in the MLB All-Star Game this season. Stick around. You're listening to Connor Dunning on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more Messi. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to Messi exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Excellent choice. Excellent choice by King George. Welcome back to the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning filling in for Gabe. He'll be back tomorrow, but every single day on the Gabe Kuhn Show, we do the Blitz. We got to do it right now.
The 2025-2026 NBA Cup groups have been released. The Grizzlies end up in a group with the Lakers, the Clippers, the Mavs, and the Pelicans. Can the Grizzlies finally make their way into the NBA Cup tournament stage?
I think they will have an opportunity to. They aren't in the death group this time.
No,
like they were last year. The death group, in my opinion, when you look at them.
Now, West Group C.
West Group C is absolutely insane.
It's disgusting.
Houston, Denver, Golden State, Portland, and San Antonio. And I know that some may hear those teams and say, well, Portland's in there. Well, Portland, when you look at the back half of their season, was really good. And they're only going to get better next year. They sent off a couple of dumb basketball players to get a couple of smart basketball players in that locker room. I know Drew Holiday's a little pissed off to be there, but maybe he plays pissed off, and that would be good for the Portland Trail Blazers. So I think that West Group C is definitely the best group. West Group A, you got OKC, Minnesota, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Utah. That's a two-team race there. Like Sacramento, Phoenix, and Utah should not be very good next season. And then West Group B, LA Lakers, LA Clippers, Memphis, Dallas, and New Orleans. It's one of those where when you look at it, I think the Clippers actually got a little bit worse this offseason. So you might have a chance to beat them. I think that Memphis and Dallas are going to be similar, but if you know Kyrie Irving's not going to be there, you never know what's going to happen with Anthony Davis. Cooper Flagg is still a rookie. So I think that Memphis is still probably better than Dallas right now. And then New Orleans is, they've got interesting players, and
it's
I think
Orleans.
They have good
it's,
players,
they're,
but
New
they
Orleans.
Fit very oddly together. That none, doesn't really make sense. They've got a lot of centers. They don't really have guys that pair well with Zion. I think that New Orleans has talent. I'm just going to be curious to see how they put it together. And then you have the Lakers, which how serious is LeBron going to take it? How serious? It's going to kind of come down to that. Is he going to want to coast through it? Does he want to conserve energy for later in the season? We do know how old he is going to be. He will be in his 40s, and playing basketball in your 40s is a very rare thing. So how are they going to be? I think that Memphis has an opportunity here to maybe advance. Outside of the West groups, when you look at the East, I think the most interesting group is going to be East Group B. You have Boston, Detroit, Orlando, Brooklyn, and Philly. Four of those teams I think are going to be very competitive next year in the Eastern Conference. And then you have Brooklyn, who is just dumbfounding. I don't understand the plan that Brooklyn has at all.
They're just kind of weird in a way. Like, their construction is still pretty strange to me. It feels like it's going to end up being Michael Porter Jr., Claxton, and 18 rookies. I mean, that they all drafted
they used
this year.
All five of their picks.
It's just a weird construction. That isn't to say that is to me truly the shotgun approach. As many kicks at the can as you can. Buckshot.
It feels like they chose the wrong guys, though. That's what's so weird about it. It's not that
they aren't
used,
like super high upside
guys. They used all five of their picks, which is fine. It's super weird that they did that. Didn't try to move anything. But using the five picks on the guys that they use them on is what is very odd. You had better talent on the board, and every single one of those instances that they could have taken somebody else, and those five guys are just, it's an odd group of players. But Brooklyn's going to mean nothing to the NBA next season, so whatever. But East Group B, Boston, I really don't know what Boston's going to look like next year. It's going to be very interesting with Jason Tatum. Do they decide to keep him out for the entire season? That would probably be the smart play. But you still have Jaylen Brown. You still have Derek White. You still have Peyton Pritchard. You have a couple of players who can still have impacts, but they absolutely got worse this offseason. There's no doubt about it, and you're not going to have Jason Tatum.
Do they have a big?
No, he's Luke Kornet. Well, Al Horford could still technically come back, but Hauser there still?
How many minutes do you actually want to give a guy like
Horford?
Horford right now, who's 40, and plays the way that, I mean, he's another stretch big.
Oh,
though.
They don't. Hey,
they don't do that.
Don't forget Luke Garza. Show some respect.
Yeah, I'm gonna forget that.
Luke Garza. Show some respect, and then George Niang. Who is
a good NBA player.
They have okay basketball players, but it's and Anthony Simons is there as well. It's a weird group of players. I still think they'll be competitive. They're in the Eastern Conference. If I had to guess who's going to win that group, though, you know, it's
give me Detroit.
I want Detroit to win it because these young teams.
I believe in Cade.
These young teams really get up for things like this. But if you made me put money on it right now, I think it'd be Orlando. I think I would go with Orlando, but I think Detroit would be a close second for me.
I think it depends how some of, because if we remember last year, Detroit also had some pretty major injuries going on with them later on towards the end of the season. Philly is to me super interesting because we don't know what we're getting. We don't know what we're getting from Embiid or Paul George, but I think they drafted pretty darn well. Edgecombe is a beast.
He's going to be good.
Maxey's awesome.
McCain.
Jared McCain was
really good.
Cooking. And then did they re-sign Quentin Grimes?
I'm pretty sure Quentin Grimes is still on. Yeah, he's still there. Quentin Grimes is still a 76er.
Did you see what he did in the second half of last year?
Yes.
Man
was
averaging 20 something.
I know. He poured the salt on the wound of the Dallas Mavericks last year before they got the number one pick. Because he was looking phenomenal for the 76ers after they made that trade for who? Caleb Martin? They flipped him for Caleb Martin, I think, which
peanuts.
Was just absolutely insane. But I think that these are good groupings. The most boring one is probably, I don't know, East Group A isn't super exciting because it's kind of Cleveland and Atlanta and then three teams that aren't going to be as good. Indiana, as much as we had fun with them this year, no Tyrese Halliburton there, no Miles Turner there. They're going to look different. They're probably not going to have as much success. But Cleveland and Atlanta will be a fun pairing in East Group A.
What are the
Raptors are in East Group, or what are they?
Yeah, because I like Barrett. Barrett's looked a lot better since going there quickly. Jacob Poeltl's a good
Toronto
center.
Toronto is kind of like the Pelicans. New Orleans and Toronto are similar because they have good players, but how are they going to fit together? It doesn't necessarily make sense as a team. So,
yeah.
You know, and I think that Toronto has a good draft pick, but again, they just got another wing up there. They have 1,000 wings, so I don't know, but
Scotty Barnes.
I will say I am excited for most of these groups. I do think that the Grizzlies can be competitive in West Group B. So I'm excited for the NBA Cup. It's not something I super look forward to every single season, but I think that it's an interesting wrinkle into the season, and it has worked. It has worked so far. The courts are terrible, though.
Awful.
I hate most of the courts.
Chet Holmgren signed a 5-year rookie maximum extension that could reach up to $250 million. Does this new contract on top of SGA Supermax accelerate the timer on the Thunder's window?
What does accelerate mean? Because
does it close quicker now because they are going to end up having both those guys on deals that combined will take up 50% of your cap?
I think as long as OKC has
I don't believe
SGA, they
signed Jalen Williams yet.
Jalen Williams and Chet, I think that their window will probably be open. And the way that they have built that team, like I've seen a lot of conversation today about the apron is coming for OKC. And while that's kind of true, they still have a few seasons before that's going to happen. Like Gabe and I have talked about, the reason the Thunder were so dangerous and are so dangerous as a potential dynasty is they get to just run this team back next season. So, yes, this is a big contract that Chet Holmgren is getting. You can argue about whether or not he's earned it, but at the end of the day, NBA championship.
Absolutely.
Of course he should get this contract. The Grim Reaper is not coming for OKC, though, anytime soon. It would be like 27-28 before you really have to see them begin making decisions about money. And I think that what Sam Presti has done is he has built this roster in a way to where, like, Let's say that they got to move off of Lou Dort because he's making a ton of money. Well, maybe you can get Alex Caruso to stay. You've got Kaysen Wallace. You've got Aaron Wiggins. Let's say that eventually you have to move off of Hartenstein. Well, you have the other Jalen Williams. You've got Sorber there. Presti has a ton of draft picks to play with. He can trade guys away and get a big fish and try to combine contracts into one guy. They have options. They have flexibility. And they can remain below that tax apron, even with SGA, Holmgren, and J-Dub. They will eventually have to make decisions with this roster. But the downfall of the Thunder that some have been predicting today, I just don't know if it's a real thing. It's still a couple of years away when you look at the cap, and it will go up. And again, I tend to agree with Parker. They need to start presenting these contracts about the percentage of the cap that it's going to take up.
That's why.
Because these numbers look so big. And you're like, oh my God, that guy's making that amount of money? That's insane. And then when you go and you look at the percentage of the cap, it usually makes the contracts make a little bit more sense. So this is a ton of money that Chet's getting. And the Thunder will eventually have to make roster decisions because of money, because they don't want to go into the apron. I get it. But they're going to be able to run this team back next year, the same team. And then the next year, if they have to make some decisions, they have avenues to where they can do it and still be highly competitive. As long as those three guys are on the floor together, they're going to be very good. And as long as they can kind of keep around somebody like Alex Caruso, they're going to be very good. So the downfall of the Thunder, I think, is a little bit premature.
This year's Major League Baseball All-Star Game is set to use the automated Balls and Strikes Challenge system amid a future potential rule change. Do you support said potential rule change in Major League Baseball going forward?
I do support this.
Again, mind you, very specifically, and we saw this in spring training, this is the challenge system.
Correct.
Not the full ABS.
Correct. It's not going to be robot umpires. They made it very clear that this isn't some, you know, prequel to robot umpires.
No.
I do think, though, umpires get things wrong every once in a while. They're better than people give them credit for, but they can still be kind of bad. And giving the team, the catcher, and the batter an opportunity to challenge immediately when the pitch is thrown after the call is made, I think is a pretty good thing. I like that the system that the MLB is playing with, it worked during spring training. I think that 52% of the calls ended up getting overturned, which, you know, you could say means that the umpires are doing pretty well, but at the same time, it means over half of the time there was a challenge, it was successful because they got something wrong. So I think it is always a good thing when you bring something to the game that makes the calls more accurate while still allowing the human element to exist. Yep. I like that they're trying it out in spring training. I like that they're trying it out in something like the All-Star Game. It's kind of what these All-Star Games should do. I still think that the MLB All-Star Weekend is the best one that we have in sports. It's the most enjoyable of them. The game's the most competitive. The Home Run Derby is super fun every single year. So, no, I am a fan of this. And I think that some people have put it this way. When the clock came into play, a lot of people were against it. But I think that we can all admit that the pitch clock has been good for baseball, and it has been a net positive. It has made these games more watchable. It makes them not be 4 hours long. So I do think it's been a net positive, and I do think that this new system, if implemented, could be a net positive for the game. I understand, though, that it's America's pastime, and everybody can get weird about changing the rules of baseball. But ultimately, in my opinion, when baseball has made a change, it's always been good. So I'm in support of this.
Yeah, my big thing with this, and this has been a lot of the conversation for a lot of people, has been the time element of it. People say, oh, it's going to add all this time on there. I have not only watched this in spring training, I've seen it in action. It
doesn't take that much time.
In real life, in a stadium, not on TV where there's commercials and everything else that they have to worry about. I've been sitting in a stadium for challenges in AAA ball here. It is so snappy. It is succinct, quick, efficient. It's awesome. I wish they had done it for this season. Honestly, like it's really quick. It's really easy. And the fact that part of the rule is you only have a certain amount of challenges to get you through the whole game, and you don't get to keep them. You lose them if you use them, win or lose. I just don't understand a lot of the pushback on it.
Yeah, so the league's competition committee will consider its implementation as early as 2026. And again, they said this is not going to lead to robo-umps. And it shouldn't. I almost said cops. It shouldn't. Shouldn't lead to robo umps.
No.
You need the human element still in sports. It needs to exist. But making sure they get some things right in big moments, I think, also makes sense. That's going to be it for the Blitz. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show with the rewind. Stick around. You're listening to Connor Dunning on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Welcome back into the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning filling in for Gabe. He'll be back tomorrow at 4 p.m., but we have one more segment to do. And very quickly, I want to talk about the suggestions that ESPN has made over on their NFL page, building the best 2028 Olympic U.S. flag football roster. And Gabe and I have talked about this a whole bunch. It's an interesting topic of conversation, because we know that the current flag football guys think that they need to get a shot. And, you know, they can try out. They can be the water boy. They can do team manager stuff. Should they actually be the players? Probably not. But I thought it was really interesting who they suggested at the quarterback position. I think a lot of people have assumed it would be somebody like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or even a Joe Burrow. But the idea that they threw out, I think, makes a lot of sense, considering this would happen in 2028. He will be 27 years old in 2028. And the name that they have suggested is Jaden Daniels. George, what do we think of that?
I'm all for it. My first thought when you said Jaden Daniels earlier when we talked about this in a break was like, oh. But then we're like, oh, wait, this is 3 years from now.
Right.
We're not talking about these guys right this absolute second. Jaden Daniels, plenty mobile, can move outside the pocket, super accurate, has a hose on him. Makes all the sense to me.
I like it. I can't wait for this, because it does feel like just another sport that the U.S. is going to be able to dominate in and hopefully get a medal. Because if we care about one thing in this country, it's about winning those damn Olympics.
In here was really surprising to me.
Cooper DeGene.
Yeah. Not Cooper DeGene.
Not Cooper?
Well, that is surprising, because that's also kind of hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Jeremiah Smith,
I saw
already.
That also makes sense, though.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, if you're projecting what he's going to be.
Demon. He's ridiculous.
Yes, he
will be a monster in this.
He will be. Well, that's going to be it for the Gabe Kuhn Show today. I want to thank my guest, David Cobb. He joins us every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He'll be back with Gabe on Friday. I want to thank Gabe. He battled through Southwest to get here and get on the show and give us some of his thoughts. I've had a ton of fun hosting this show the last 3 days, but we will be back same time, same place tomorrow, 4 p.m. Don't forget, you can find us on your radio dial anytime, but also on the Odyssey app and now the iHeart app. Free any single time you want to listen to us, your number one sports station in Memphis and in the Mid-South. Get home safely. Drive home safely. Peace.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.